If you're an Uber driver, your most valuable asset is your car. If you're a photographer, your camera is critical. An Uber driver with a broken car can't make money. A photographer with a cheap camera will slowly starve. So, what is the critical tool for an author? It's your laptop. That's where you write, edit, and promote your book. A reliable, compatible computer is key to your success. Or, put another way, an old, unreliable computer that can't run the software you need is a terrible liability. A good laptop is not only a good investment, it may also be a tax-deductible business expense for professional authors. As you likely know, I'm a huge nerd, but I'm cautious to let people know just how nerdy I am. So let me tell you something I don't think I've mentioned on this podcast before. I build computers for fun. I built my first computer when I was around 12 years old, and as a side hustle as a teenager, I helped out at my dad's CPA firm doing IT work. The gaming PC I use today is one I assembled myself. But I've also been working with authors for over 15 years, and I have a good idea of what they need, and more importantly, what they don't need to waste money on. So, what kind of computer will be best for you in your writing career? Find out in this episode of Novel Marketing, the longest-running book marketing podcast in the world. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr., CEO of Author Media, and this is a show for writers who want to build their platform, sell more books, and make a living writing books worth talking about. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast by clicking follow in your podcast app on your phone, or if you're watching on YouTube, click subscribe. My goal with this episode is to help you understand how computers work, and at the end, I will give specific recommendations. But those specific recommendations will be out of date next year, but the general knowledge you're about to get will be helpful for a long time. So let's start by talking about what doesn't matter. And the first thing that doesn't matter for authors is the CPU. This is also called the processor. This is what both computer companies and the media really focus on when it comes to new computers, and it has no impact on most authors. Computers could run word processors two decades ago, and CPUs are thousands of times faster now. But it's more than that. More expensive CPUs have more cores, and most software that authors use doesn't need or can't even use those extra cores. So more cores won't mean your computer will run any faster in actual practice. So for example, Adobe Photoshop will use every core it can get its hands on. But most authors don't use Photoshop. Most authors use Canva, which only uses one core. If you are an author who spends most of your time in a web browser and word processor, extra cores will make little to no difference in how fast your computer actually runs. If your computer feels slow right now, the CPU is not likely the performance bottleneck. The second thing that doesn't matter is the GPU. This is also called the video card. Authors don't play video games, mine cryptocurrency, or edit multi-layered 4K videos. So you don't need to spend a lot of money on extra GPU cores. Most authors make only a few videos a year at most. And waiting 5 extra minutes for a video to render is not worth spending hundreds of extra dollars to reduce down to only 3 minutes of waiting. Another thing that doesn't matter for authors is a touchscreen. While touchscreens are fun for a few days, it leaves your screen smudged and doesn't actually help you write faster or better. The fastest way to use a computer is with a keyboard and keyboard shortcuts. If you've ever seen someone who's really mastered keyboard shortcuts and macros, it's like watching somebody play the piano. They are unbelievably productive. The next fastest way is to use the keyboard and a mouse. The next fastest way, or maybe I should say the next slowest way, is with a keyboard and a trackpad. And the slowest way altogether is to use the keyboard and a touchscreen. Part of the reason is because your hand blocks part of the screen while you're touching it. And the other reason is that the screen is farther away from your keyboard than the mouse. And you're like, ah, this is minor. It's a very small distance. But you touch that screen thousands of times a day. This could be millions of times across the life of your computer. And those seconds really add up. Every temptation to touch your screen is a temptation to reduce your productivity. You're not an artist who needs to paint on the screen. You don't need a touchscreen. So what does matter for authors? Well, storage, or sometimes called SSD, it might matter. Scrivener, Atticus, Word, and Vellum files don't take up much space, so the Word document for a 50,000-word book is only about half a megabyte to a megabyte. But there's more to a book than just the Word document. There's the cover files, PDFs, EPUBs, and audio recordings of interviews you did as research. I looked up my book to see how much space it took up. In the book itself was about 5 gigs of space, but most of that was audio recordings of interviews I did as research. The raw audiobook files were another 15 gigs. So if you're recording your own audiobook and keeping your raw audio files, that could swell the size of a hard drive. But altogether, my book only took up about 20 gigs of space on my computer. And 20 gigs per book is high. I suspect the typical novelist wouldn't need more than 1 to maybe 10 gigs on the high end per book. A computer with 256 gigabytes of space could hold between 10 and 100 books, depending on how many audio files you create. And you don't need to keep the raw audio files on your computer. You can very easily store those on an external hard drive. For an author who just uses a laptop for writing, I think 256 gigabytes of space is actually fine. But if you're the person who stores a lot of photos on your computer, or if you're a podcaster, you may need to add more storage. You can also add external storage, but that's always going to be slower and it adds complexity and reduces your mobility. When it comes to storage, here's my recommendation. Look at how much storage you're using right now and double that number for space on your new computer. So if you're using 100 gigs of space on your current computer, 256 gigs of space is fine. So with all of the things that don't matter, what does matter? Well, the number one most important thing for authors is RAM, random access memory, or often just shortened to memory. This determines how many applications you can run simultaneously. At first, you wouldn't think you need much RAM, because you're like, I just use Chrome and Microsoft Word. But each Chrome tab is technically its own application when it comes to the allocation of RAM. And in my experience, authors love running lots of tabs in Chrome. Each tab needs as much as 0.5 gig of random access memory to run. So the more tabs you have open, the more memory you need. Running out of memory causes the kinds of problems that are often fixed with a reboot. Running low on memory puts strain on your hard drive, which will cause it to fail sooner, losing all of your data. And strain on your hard drive also puts strain on your battery. So memory is critical for authors, especially authors who love leaving tabs open. If your computer crashes a lot or runs slow, the longer you use it, you likely don't have enough memory. If you are a focused, one tab open kind of person, you probably don't need a lot of memory. But in my experience, most authors lack that level of focus. I certainly do. As I was preparing for this episode, I had 21 tabs open across 4 different monitors. The next thing that's important for authors is the battery. Having an all-day battery lets you write at a picnic table at the park rather than at a coffee shop table near an outlet. It also is great if you're a parent. I can take my kids to the park and tether my phone, giving me wireless internet access so I can do my work at the park while listening to the birds chirp and children shouting at each other about whose turn it is. You will be surprised just how much more writing you can get done in a day if you don't have to worry about plugging in. Writing outside can improve your mood, and it can also improve your writing. One important thing to know about lithium-ion batteries, which is what all laptops use, is that they degrade over time. This is just a nature of the technology. You can expect to lose about 1 hour of battery life per year, give or take. So if your 3-year-old laptop had a 4-hour battery, it now likely can't last much more than 1 hour. The battery is typically the first thing to fail on a laptop because of this. And there's no real solution, as far as I know, other than somebody inventing a better kind of battery, which a lot of people have been trying to do for a long time and no one's pulled it off yet. The longer your battery lasts, when you first get the laptop, the longer your battery will last as a good laptop battery. Another thing that's important for authors is software compatibility, and this is critical. Does your computer actually run the software that you need to use as an author? It doesn't matter how fancy or fast your computer is. If it doesn't run the one application you need, it's not fit for purpose. When I was a teenager, I used and crusaded for Linux, and specifically a distribution called Lindows. For those of you who don't know, this is a Debian-based distro focused on usability for end users. It was a precursor for distributions like Ubuntu. You don't have to know what any of what I just said was. And that's part of the point. The problem with Linux back then, and still to this day, to a lesser degree, is that most software doesn't run on Linux. And even though you don't generally need to use Microsoft Word, when you do need to use it, it's really nice to have it. When you use an incompatible computer, you're forced to use whatever works on your computer rather than using the best tool for the job. This makes things harder. And the whole point of owning a computer is to make things easier. So when it comes to compatibility, Apple computers are the most compatible. They run the most applications for authors. They're followed by Windows, which is followed by Linux, which is followed by Chromebook in last place. In my experience, the majority of professional authors use Apple laptops, and they do so for one of seven reasons. The first is compatibility, like I was just talking about. Mac OS is the only OS that can run Vellum, which is the number one typesetting tool for authors. Windows authors often have no idea how to turn their Word document into an ebook, an EPUB ready for Kindle, or a PDF ready to print. They often get snookered by hybrid publishers who offer to do it for them for thousands of dollars when they could do it for themselves in just a few minutes if only they had a Mac running Vellum. It is this reason alone that causes most professional authors to switch to using a Mac. Even if you're traditionally published, it's nice to be able to make your own reader magnets. And Atticus is the one app for authors that runs on everything, even Chromebook. So if you're using a Chromebook, you're forced to use Atticus. If you're using a Mac, you can literally use whichever app is best for you. You have all of the options. The bottom line is, if you want to avoid compatibility issues, Mac is your only option. Reason number two is ease of use. I've worked with authors for 15 years, and in that time, I found that the Windows authors complain about their computers way more. Windows systems are just harder to use. So here's a specific example. Switching your microphone or headphone inputs on a Mac is simple, and the process for doing it has been unchanged for the last decade or more. That same process is very complicated on Windows. There are three different settings pages that control audio inputs and outputs with different ways to get to those settings pages. And what is worse, the interface for getting to those pages changes with every version of Windows. The steps for changing inputs and outputs are different depending on whether you're using Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10, or Windows 11. As a podcaster, it takes at least 5 minutes more for me to get a Windows guest up and running as it does a Mac guest, because it's just harder to use. One author I almost had on the podcast as a guest tried on 3 different days to get her microphone working, and she just couldn't get it working. The problem was either with her PC's hardware or with Windows. The problem was not with the microphone. But regardless, it didn't work, and she missed out on getting interviewed as a result. The third reason professional authors opt for a Mac is for reliability. Apple computers have the best build quality in the business. While there are PCs with comparable build quality, they also have comparable pricing. You get what you pay for. And most Windows users, in my experience, go for the cheap $400 option, which is not going to be a well-made computer that will last the test of time. But remember, every computer needs automatic backups. A computer can be the most compatible, reliable computer in the world, but it can still get lost or stolen. So always have some sort of automatic backup in place. Number four is battery life. The cheapest Apple laptop comes with an 18-hour battery. It will last longer on a battery than you will last writing without needing a break. Most PC laptops struggle to get just a few hours before needing to get plugged in. And this is for two reasons. PCs typically are still using x86 processors, which are not energy efficient. And Windows, as an operating system, is a heavier operating system that puts more strain on the battery. This will change in 5 years or so. More PC laptops will be running other kinds of processors, but right now it's all Intel and AMD, and those chips are very much down on the x86 chip architecture, which was invented in 1986. It's a very old chip architecture, and it's just not energy efficient. This is why the battery life on Apples is currently twice or three times better than what you can get on a comparable PC. The fifth reason why many professional authors opt for a Mac is that they're cheaper, or specifically, they have a lower lifetime cost. So Macs last longer. I had a guest on just a few episodes back whose wife was still using his 12-year-old MacBook Pro. So while Windows laptops look cheaper initially, they don't last as long, making them more expensive in the long run because you keep having to buy your computer over and over again. The sixth reason is continuity camera. With a Mac, you can use your iPhone as a webcam with a simple $20 mount that just allows you to place that iPhone on top of your monitor. And I'll have a link to one in the show notes of this episode. This will give you video quality comparable to a $1,000 professional camera rig. I've spent thousands of dollars on cameras, and I now use an iPhone for all of my video. For those of you watching the YouTube version of this episode, I'm recording this on an iPhone. It has a shockingly good camera, and if you have a Mac, you can use your iPhone as a webcam. The seventh reason is transcription. The most recent version of macOS has the best voice-to-text transcription I've ever seen for free. I don't think there's any reason to pay for Dragon or any other voice-to-text tool once you're using macOS. The next best is Windows, followed by Chromebook in last place in terms of quality of transcription. So before I get to my specific examples, I want to give a couple of things to avoid. One, I recommend avoiding refurbished laptops because batteries degrade over time. Refurbished is a fancy word for stuck to an outlet. So I'd only get a refurbished laptop if it stated clearly that it comes with a brand new battery. The other thing I would avoid is the most recent Apple Silicon chip, whichever it is. You can save money by going back 1 year. So if the current Apple chip is an M4, go back and buy an M3 at a discount and use that saved money to get more RAM. Remember, the CPU isn't going to help you as an author. You're a word processor user. You don't need all that power, but you probably need more RAM for all those tabs you've got open. All right, so here's my specific recommendations. My budget recommendation is the M1 MacBook Air, which you can get at Walmart right now for $699. This is the cheapest a brand new MacBook has ever been in my lifetime. So it's running the older M1 chip, but that's not a problem because you don't need all that power. And it is running Apple Silicon. There's no moving parts to wear out. It has an 18-hour battery. Some of the cons, it's got a weak webcam, but again, you don't want to use the webcam. Use continuity camera instead. It only has 256 gigabytes of storage on the SSD, and it only has 8 gigabytes of RAM. It's the 8 gigabytes of RAM that's the biggest limitation here, but this is by far the cheapest laptop on the market. My professional recommendation is the M2 MacBook Air with 16 gigabytes of RAM and a 256 gigabyte hard drive. You can get this customized at apple.com for $1,199. This has twice as much memory. It has a better webcam, but still not as good as your iPhone. So continuity camera is where it's at. The CPU is faster. It has that 18-hour battery life. And if you want, since you're buying it directly from Apple instead of from Walmart or some retailer, you can add more hard drive space for extra money. So if you want to double the hard drive to 512 gigabytes, you can do that for an extra $200. And really, the only con with this laptop is that it's more expensive than that M1 MacBook Air, but it is better. For my Windows recommendation, I recommend the Microsoft Surface Laptop 5. This is the same, $1,199, as that more expensive MacBook Air. It has only an 8-hour battery life, but 8 hours is pretty good for a Windows laptop, and it has a reputation for good build quality. Some of the cons, Windows can't run all the software. It's got a mediocre 720p webcam. It doesn't support continuity camera with your iPhone. So I would only get this if you are just all in on Windows and you didn't listen to anything I said about getting a Mac. Now, for Chromebooks, I don't really recommend Chromebooks for most authors. They don't run Vellum, Scrivener, or the native version of Microsoft Word, but they can run Google Docs, Office.com, and Atticus. And so there is a certain kind of author who has a desktop at home, maybe a Mac desktop, like I do. I currently am working on a desktop, but you want a computer that can go out and about just for typing. And so for that kind of author, you don't want to spend a lot of money for a real laptop. You can get a Chromebook. I don't have strong opinions about what Chromebook to get, but doing some research, the Acer Chromebook 315 looked pretty good. So the pros, it's only $169. It's got a 12-hour battery, which is actually better than the Windows computer that's five times more expensive. Some of the cons, it really only works when connected to the internet. Chromebooks really just run Chrome. And so with no internet, there's not a lot they can do. Although Atticus does have an offline mode inside of Chrome. And it's very cheaply made. And the final con is that there's nothing private from Google. So Google gets to see everything on your Chromebook. So the bottom line is I recommend buying the best Apple laptop you can afford. It's better to spend a little bit more money on a good computer up front than to get a cheap computer and then spend a lot of money trying to make it work or buying services you wouldn't need if you just had a working computer. But I want to say this again, regardless of what computer you get, you've got to have automatic backup set up. No computer is so reliable that it can't crash, get stolen, or break. Our featured patron today is Michael Fedor, author of What It Takes to Kill a Bull Moose. Resurrecting the Bull Moose Party of Teddy Roosevelt, Senator Jackson Piper mounts a popular third-party run in order to stop a rigged election. Election Day presents no clear winner, and the arcane contingent election procedure of the Constitution threatens peace in an already fragile nation. Who will win? And more importantly, will the nation survive? Find out in the political thriller, What It Takes to Kill a Bull Moose. The Novel Marketing Podcast is a production of AuthorMedia.com. Our audio engineer is William Umstadt. The blogifier is Shauna Lettler. And you can find the blog version of this episode, including links to everything I talked about today, at AuthorMedia.com/414. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr. saying thank you for listening and live long and prosper.